Tonight I want to go as far as I can in moving forward in 2016. I'm just going to review a bunch of prophetic revelations, comment on some, just leave some to hit us in the heart. 2016 is the year the tide turns. Have you ever been? We used to live on Lake Ontario. Have you ever been to a lake or the sea when the tide turns? It brings up a lot of stuff, but it washes it all away. We have to not get hung up on the stuff. We have to get released by His presence so that even as we did for communion, even as we did to start tonight, those things of the past truly get put under the blood of the Lamb. Because He wants to turn our tide this year in more ways than just our physical or financial well-being. He wants to turn the tide of the darkness that's been assailing this region and our nation. The term tide turns means to change the direction completely or to reverse the direction. About 10 years ago at a prophetic roundtable hosted by Morningstar Ministries, I was invited to participate and the Lord gave me a vision of this region. And the people at the roundtable were supposed to say what the Lord was speaking to them. Do you remember when the black bears came back? That was the year the black bears came back. And starting at that end of the table, it was a table about as long as this room and about as wide as this section here. They all started talking about the prophetic significance of the black bears. I was getting pretty bored because I was right about here at the table. And it was all about the black bears. And it got to me, and I know what the Lord had told me, but hearing all this stuff, I said, let me make one comment about the black bears. And let me tell you, that's not what the Lord's saying for this region. I said, what He is saying for this region is He is about to turn the river of His presence again in this region and turn it back against itself and around itself to pick up those who did not get into the first move of His Spirit. Because He doesn't want anyone to miss what He's about to do. And the people from Morningstar said, that's what the Lord showed us 2 weeks ago. And then people started talking about the tide turning. Now, that was just 10 years ago, which is about 15 minutes for God. He's moving quickly. He's turning the tide. He's going to reverse some things. And some of us need to not be judgmental in our old religious ways and say, God's not going to do that. Because last summer, in a prophetic word released over Rochester, some of you heard Chuck Pierce release it when he was here. He said he's going to give us the Baptists, he's going to give us the Catholics, he's going to give us the Methodists. All of us that didn't get in last time. Different way of saying the same thing. Father wants His children to be moving in spirit and truth. That's part of how the tide turns this year. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but He's come to bring abundant life. How many of you are moving in abundant life? It's overtaking you. His blessings are just abundantly overflowing you. You can come up and finish my message, because I'm not there. I am tasting what it's like, but I've not yet gotten to the place that Jesus said we would walk in. That's part of the tide turning, is we will begin to experience what it means for Him to have, as the Amplified said, abundance to the full until it overflows. I'm looking forward to that. In Psalm 56, verses 9 through 12, we read, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Some of us have been bound by the fear of man, the fear of our boss, the fear of our job, the fear of the IRS, the fear of some man-made agency. When the tide turns, we get the righteous fear of the Lord. We respect the establishments and the government he put over us, according to Romans chapter 13. He put them there for a purpose. But when the tide turns, we don't walk in the fear that we've done something wrong. We walk in the knowledge that he has set us free from all fear. This is a year in which we begin to get set free from those things that have tried to pull us back off of the path to our destiny. I want you to do a homework assignment. I want you to pray Acts chapter 1, verse 8 over yourself. I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. You can read whatever one you want, but I want you to pray this over yourself. You know this verse. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends, the very bounds of the earth. In other words, you should say over yourself, the Holy Spirit has come upon me in power. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, see us afterwards. Someone here will lay hands on you and he will do it. Jesus wants us all to be baptized in his Spirit. He is the baptizer. And you shall be his witnesses in Greece, in Rochester, in Monroe County, in New York State, and for me tomorrow, Fayetteville, Arkansas. Wherever he sends you, that to me is the uttermost parts of the earth. Next week it's Vietnam. And the week after it's Malaysia. But if you don't believe it for where you are right now, Jesus gave us an order here. Here first. Here second, then there. And so many of us are, take me there, Lord. In this year that the tide turns, pray this over yourself. Put your name in there. Al shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit comes upon Al. Faith comes by hearing, and? And when you speak it over yourself with your name in it, guess what? It is getting into your innermost being. And whether you believe it or not in your mind, Holy Spirit says, that's my word they're speaking over themselves. And it's stored up here in your mind, heart, and in your soul so that Holy Spirit can activate it whenever you need it, even when you're facing teachers that want to tell you that I came from a monkey. Mason will win because he is on God's side. Notice God's not on his side. He's on God's side. He chose God. Will you choose God in your workplace? Will you choose God in the marketplace? Because as soon as you do, that power comes upon you. And the same miracles that were done in the book of Acts come from your mouth and your hands. The same things that are happening in San Diego begin happening in Rochester. See, when the tide turns, we have to contend for the atmosphere of heaven every day. Not just on Saturday night or Sunday morning or at a home meeting. But we have to contend for the atmosphere of heaven, which he wants to saturate through you. When you show up someplace, Holy Spirit shows up. But you got to contend for heaven there. You know, this is the Vav year, the year of Ayin Vav. That may be demonstrative. When you come here, he wants to connect heaven to earth through you so that you can touch others through Christ who dwells in you. That's what the cross is, the greatest Vav of all. He wants this year for you to contend for heaven everywhere you go so that when you get there, And that person that he has been wooing walks across your path, all of a sudden they smell Christ in you. They don't know what it is yet, but they're going to be hungry to know. But you've already got to have said to yourself, I'll be his ambassador. I'll be his vessel. In Daniel 9:23, in the Amplified we read, at the beginning of your prayers, the word giving an answer went forth, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. As soon as you pray, the answer is there. Well, I'm going to pray today, and maybe next year God will answer me. As soon as you pray, the answer is there. You know, there is no distance. Heaven's right there. It's not up there. It's right there. I can't walk through that dimension like Jesus can. But heaven is that close to us. Angels come and go through that. Sometimes Jesus shows up. He showed up in one of our worship services. Walked across the platform. Some of you remember that. It's right here. He is waiting for us to so contend for heaven that when we pray, we know that the answer's already come. And sometimes we may have to wrestle with the principality, like Daniel did, so that the messenger angel can come across that portal, come across that dimensional veil, and bring the answer into reality. Do you know that many times the answer to our prayer and our breakthrough was right here, and we stopped right before the veil opened? This year the tide turns, and we begin to experience what's beyond the veil. Remember the prophetic word 2 weeks ago, that for 21 days we're going to battle interference? Well, this year you will face opposition. We are in the opposition phase. Do you know that when you get a new idea, all of the people in authority become naysayers? If any of you have worked in industry, you know what that's like. You want to do what? We can make money doing that? That's the opposition phase. We have to contend with our adversaries. They're not in flesh, they're invisible. Those things that have been opposing us. Remember, we said that the obstacles on our path this year become weapons for our future battles. As we pick them up, instead of doing what I used to like to do, I used to like to do this with my assignments. That was my assignment in some of my college courses. And I would just find a way to get around it, maybe sometimes crawl over it, sometimes maybe duck behind it. I wonder if they have pulpits like this so that you can get behind the issue instead of addressing the issue. Those things that oppose us are the things that are going to strengthen us when we have the mind of Christ to address what's opposing us. When I know I cannot do it in my flesh, but I say, Hine, remember that was my word for last year, here am I, Lord, behold, send me. When I say, Hine, and he says, go over there and stand right here, and all of a sudden Jeremy comes up and he says, hey, I haven't seen you be here before. We just strike up a conversation, and he says something that Holy Spirit whispered to me in my prayer time this morning. Sort of like Jesus and Father, isn't it? He listened to what Father said in his prayer time, and then he went out, and during the course of the day, all of these things just happened in the Bible. No, I think they were divine appointments. That because Jesus prepared himself to do this, when things opposed him, he knew where he was supposed to be. He didn't fight the battles he wasn't supposed to fight. That's a wise spiritual lesson for many of us. In 2 Chronicles 32, verses 19 through 22, read, They spoke to the God of Jerusalem as of the gods of the peoples of the earth and the work of men's hands. But King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land, and when he had entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. God sent one angel in response to the prayer of two people. Can you pray in agreement with someone? He sent one angel, and you know what that angel did? Wiped out 185,000 Assyrians, from the rulers to the foot soldiers, in one night. And sent the one who was mocking the God of Israel back to his home, where his own children didn't respect him. This year, angel armies are being released when we learn to pray in agreement with heaven and his children on the earth. When they are released, we are going to see an acceleration of the work of the Lord in the things we've been laboring over. That's okay. I am glad that Jen's generation and Jeremy's generation and Daniel's generation are going to enter into things more freely than we did. But I'm even more excited about the fact that my grandchildren, their children, are going to enter into the things even more freely than they did, with greater authority, because he's exponentially increasing, just as he promised back to Abraham. He's exponentially increasing the authority from one believing generation to the next. The gift of faith and a new rod of authority are coming to the body of Christ this year. Do you know what the gift of faith is? Have you taught on that one? Someone sitting right in front of me taught on that 2 weeks ago. And the rod of authority isn't to get my own way. It's to be so in tune with what Holy Spirit is saying that we can address the principalities and powers that are holding people groups captive, or holding segments of our society, mountains of our culture, captive, and see them broken off. I got to stop right now. Jeremy, the Lord says that in the media mountain that you stand in, there are coming new ideas to you that are going to astound those that are in authority over you. And when you submit them to the Lord, he will show you the plan to submit them to men. And it will not only bring a release, it will bring a new creative venue for the release of entertainment into the earth realm that brings righteousness to bear in that mountain. If you stay in that mountain, because there's others you're going to dabble in, if you stay in that mountain, you will eventually be in a place of great influence, even as Daniel was in a place of great influence. You will be in a place of great influence to be able to bring back a righteous remnant into the media mountain. That's what happens when you look at somebody when you're preaching. That's what happened when Lisa was just exhorting us last week and she looked at your brother. And then worship broke out on Sunday morning at the well. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 21, this is what's coming to the body of Christ this year. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. When we start to move in the authority of the Word of God and the power of His Spirit, when we move in that rod of authority that He wants to bring to the body of Christ so that it's not my will but Yahweh, when we do what it is He says, you notice the only thing, well, Moses did two things wrong we know of. He took matters into his own hand before he met God, and then Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. See, he's given us a rod of authority, but it's his rod. What he wants to do this year is have us so in tuned with the book. You've heard this before. That when we read the book, he says, Lisa, go do this stuff. Ann, go do this stuff. Stephen, go do this stuff. When you see it in here, he's not a respecter of the fact that that was 4,000 years ago. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's going to say, Lynn, go speak to that rock. I want to bring your provision out of it. Daniel, go open the mouth of that fish. That's why this month of Adar is aligned with Pisces. We should be looking for those hidden venues of provision. Remember when he sent Peter? By the way, our taxes are due on the last day of Shabbat. Lord, send them a fish. If Jesus could do it in his temple of flesh filled with the Spirit, so can you. Right? Anything Jesus did, he said we would do greater, more numerous, more exponential, more full of wonder than what he did. One of the things you need to begin to do if you haven't already started doing this year is pray over the seeds that you sow. Believe the Lord for what you're planting. Most of you don't realize that you are planting for generations beyond. Yeah, I'd love to see a hundredfold return, and yes, we're going to see exponential returns, but he's really trying to get you to sow into something that hasn't even been birthed in the earth yet. I was so thick-skulled a chemist on February 4th, 1986, that was 30 years ago this past Thursday, that he had to say to me that very exhortation. I will give you a vision for a generation yet to be born. Most of us look at what's around us and we see three generations. He started giving me a vision that night for my grandchildren. Bill was not quite six and Jess was not quite four. I didn't have grandchildren. A few years ago when Samuel was born, the Lord said, okay, it's for a generation yet to be born. Does that mean everything I've done has been wasted? No. Read the lineage of Joseph. Read the lineage of Mary. The two lineages of Jesus. Many men in those lineages only are known for raising a generation. To raise a generation. Whatever you do for God will bear fruit in the generations. Pray over the seeds that you're sowing. This is already happening, but governmental shifts are going to take place this year. The first month of 5776... the first government of the earth shifted. No one gave the woman that won a fact that she would win against, what do you call it, the incumbents. But she won. Governments are going to shift this year because Father is looking at the hearts. He's hearing the cry. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the State House. He doesn't even live in the mansion because he's living in sin. Doesn't matter who's in the Albany governor's mansion. It matters who's in the church house. Right. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then he'll give us leaders after our own heart. You know why Saul was king? Because the people's heart was not after God, and they wanted a king like every other nation. What they had was the King of Kings, and they didn't realize it. God is going to shift governments in the earth this year. I've already said that there's going to be a lion's market. Be listening for what the Lord is doing financially. It doesn't matter if it's a bear, it doesn't matter if it's a lion. You know that the evil powers in the earth know how to make money in either case. We may not get there tonight, but that's important that you understand that the Lord wants you to make money. Why? Because it costs money to expand the kingdom in the earth. This year, the body of Christ, stand up, must learn to come into her kingdom mantle. This is a mantle. There is a mantle that the Lord has for the body of Christ. I'm being very specific now because I got a call from Israel last week and they were very upset with some of the teachings coming out of the U.S. about the church. They didn't realize that I know that church is a German word, not a Greek word, not a Hebrew word. And so I started to tell them why they were concerned, and so they backed off. But the body of Christ has a mantle. And that mantle isn't... It does. Turn around, Vanna. Isn't she beautiful? May I take your mantle?
Yeah.
I thought this was the mantle she was wearing tonight. I thought she was wearing gold. But this was the mantle she was wearing. She was wearing green. It's life. The mantle that he's given the church has a very specific function. And this year, the church has to learn, the body of Christ has to learn how to fit in that mantle and be comfortable in it. That means we have to be so attentive with our five senses to what Holy Spirit is saying that when he says to go over here and do this, we have a liberty of heart to go do the very thing he said. Do mantles have authority? They're the symbol of authority. Look at Moses, look at Elijah, look at Elisha. There is going to be a transference this year to the next generation in those mantles. That doesn't mean that one generation is going to run one way and one the other, but the two are going to run together so that they make the way for the third generation that will walk in even a greater mantle anointing than we walk in. Are you willing for the next generation to do better than you? Do you know the saddest comment in the Bible was King Hezekiah? After the Babylonians came and saw everything he had, and Isaiah the prophet came and said, King, what did they see? And he said, I showed them everything. And Isaiah prophesied the destruction of the next generation. And Hezekiah said, good, it'll be well in my time. That's the saddest statement in the Bible, that it was so me-focused that they didn't even see how to prepare for the next generation to have success. This year, you must look deeper into what you hear. You're going to hear some stuff, and it may come through the talking heads on the news. It may come through your boss. It may come through pulpits. But you need to look closer. You need to examine with your eyes and your heart what you hear. Do you know what contractions are?
Yes.
Now let me tell you what contractions are. You're seeing them on Wall Street. You're seeing them in China. You're seeing them in the economic markets of the world. Those are contractions. It's also an economic term. You know, some people experience great pain in the contraction in China. I know someone who lost 34% of their $2 billion fortune in the last 2 months. They're not saved yet. That's a contraction, wouldn't you say? So we need to look deeper into things that we're hearing because there may be something more going on than what is just being said. And oh, by the way, we have a friend who's a Christian investment advisor down in Texas, and he told all of his clients back in October and November that this was going to happen. I've got all of his graphs and charts, and sure enough, based on the last four Shemitah years, This has nothing to do with Shemitah, by the way. We didn't get wiped out like we did the last two Shemitahs. But he looked at all of the trends and all around all of those, and he began to see things that most market analysts don't look at. Because the father opened his eyes to something when he was looking at what he was hearing. In one of his lead articles back in early December was, "Watch China." Be willing to look deeper into what you hear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, I won't read it. The apostles are called wise master builders. Your work, the work that you do for the king, is going to be tested by trials and by fire. Difficulties are coming. That's not something we have to be afraid of. Isn't that what it says, that if I'm building with wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be consumed? If I'm building with gold, silver, and precious stones, it's going to stand the refining? Am I building with gold, God, righteousness, silver, and the Holy Spirit, precious stones? Am I building with the things of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or am I building based on my education at various institutions around the United States? One gets me into doors, the other opens the door of heaven. Would you rather move in the revelation of my doctorate degree, not me, or what Holy Spirit is speaking now? By the way, I got my doctorate in 1978. They learn more in the first 2 years of undergraduate school than I learned in graduate school. That's how much science moves. And you know what science is? It's God doing this with the veil so that someone can see what wasn't seen before. You can tell him PhD chemist said that. Albert Einstein said things too, but he's not alive anymore. Yeah, that'll go over real well. What you do will be tested by fire this year. So be sure you're building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Be sure you're building on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Your old mooring place is gone. You know what a mooring place is? How many of you have ever sailed before? It's where you tie your boat or your ship up to. The old mooring place is gone. I found it very interesting. I told Casey, I got to look this up. Actually, we were with Lisa on Thursday night, which was February 4th, which was 30 years from the night that 9 o'clock, three prophets told us to stay in Rochester. Leave my old mooring place in Tennessee. Leave the security of my job in a rapid climb to executive leadership. Oh, by the way, that was the 25th of Shavuot. This past Thursday was the 25th of Shavuot. That doesn't happen all the time. That's how much he loves you. It was the exact same day in the Hebrew calendar in 5746. We were prophesied over in 5776 that we enjoyed a meal with two of his daughters. I had to leave my old mooring place to go to my home place. I grew up 7 miles west of here. Maybe not even that. But it was a very uncertain, unfriendly, and unfamiliar place. Our safety, my safety then, our safety today is in Christ alone. The prophets even said that I could ask the Lord for anything. I knew that they were laying off 11,000 people the next Monday. That was a Tuesday night. And so that night, Casey and I said, God, Al needs a job. Father, That's what we need. You said we could ask you for anything. The CEO of Eastman Chemical called the senior vice president of Kodak and said, don't let him go to another company. That was the only way I could have a job. See, my mooring place and my safety was in Jesus Christ. When I said yes to him, it opened doors that were closed legally in the systems of man. If you understand what downsizing is about, you know that you have to have certain permissions and you can do and can't do certain things. It's ugly. This year you have to learn that Christ alone is your safety. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, we see that there are rulers and principalities. Actually, in verse 12, I say he's talking about all four of the levels of spiritual warfare we're going to face. The Greek word arche is a commencement or a chief in various applications of order, time, and place. What he's saying that those principalities are is something that is allowed to be chief in time and place. Jesus is protos. He's first in rank, order, time, and place. But these things, he's allowed to be there, and you know what? They don't want us to know that we have all authority over them. They don't want us to remember Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That means the devil himself, if you should face him. These arches, these principalities are counterfeiting Christ. Your battle is not for your social security. Your battle is not for a bigger paycheck. Your battle is against principalities in the heavenly places. And so when we hear, remember now I'm moored in Christ. He's the one that said, I'll go before you. He's the one Isaiah 52 said he'd be my rear guard. The Lord God of Israel will be your rear guard. If I'm founded and moored in Christ, then I can go when he says go, and I can know that all of those things from the past he will cut off, so they can't attack me. But I have to deal with those principalities that are opposing me. Remember we said this is the month to address those giants that are on your path? This is what that is. They may look like the abominable snowman. Casey said they're much uglier. If you've seen them, you know they are pretty ugly things. But guess what? We see and we need to concentrate on the beauty of the Lord. Yes. That is why Elijah had issues with Jezebel. He did not finish his assignment. Because when he got to Jezreel and he saw Jezebel, who had already committed herself to the spirit of death, she saw the demonic structure behind Jezebel. Notice I didn't say he saw Jezebel. He saw the demonic structure behind her. He took his eyes off the one who called him and gave him authority to do. He just outran a horse in a rainstorm. He just called down fire from heaven on a soaking wet barbecue. And when he got done doing that, he said to everybody, that's you and me, slay the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtaroth. See, that's our job. If we stay focused on the Lord, we can complete it. That's the lesson we have to learn. We have to be moored in Christ, and then we can begin to address these things. The word power is in Ephesians 6:12 is the Greek word exousia. It literally means privilege, force, capability, delegated influence or authority. Exousia is what Jesus said he has given us over all of the dunamis power of the enemy. Authority always trumps power. And what he said here is that these principalities have a delegated authority to them. Do you know what authority you move in? Pretend this is a signet ring. It's a significant ring, but pretend it's a signet ring. When you wear the signet ring of the king, you are his delegated authority to issue his decrees and proclamations in the earth. That means you can set his seal and the issue's done. That's who you are in Christ. You are his ambassador. You are his signet ring in the earth realm. And so you can address those counterfeit delegated authorities in the heavens and bring them down. Delegated authority means something that is allowed. Jesus taught us that we need to bind, which means forbid, and loose, which means allow. The Greek, there are two legal terms, forbidding and allowing. If that delegated authority called a principality or power says that death is okay, is that true? No, that's not allowed in the kingdom. It's not allowed in heaven. Jesus said, pray that my kingdom come on earth like it is in heaven. If it's not allowed in heaven as his ambassador, you can forbid it in the earth realm. That requires wisdom, because there's going to be times when people die and it's their appointed time. But this power, this counterfeit power, wants to take people and things out before their appointed time. We have the authority to stop that. That's why we need to be moored in Christ. We've got to hear what it is that he's saying so that we're not wacko out there talking to everything that he hasn't said to talk to. Did Jesus heal every person he passed by? No. Just consider the man at the gate beautiful. It means the gate of timing is the literal translation of the Greek there. Jesus passed by that gate probably every year and probably many days in his last 3 years on earth. And they said that guy had been there from birth begging. But it was Peter that the Lord used to heal him. We need to listen. And when the Lord says, Matthias, address that, you can address it. When he says, Joe, address that, you can address that. Because when we're moored and anchored in Christ, we carry his authority in the earth. We all know that from the time of Adam, our sin gave our authority away. The reason we take communion every week is so that we are reminded constantly of the authority that we have by the blood of the Lamb. The authority of the blood of Jesus Christ outdid all of our sin. All of the thing that our sin gave away, it was like this steel curtain came down behind me. He purchased everything back that way. If I will present it to him and put it under the blood. We celebrate Passover. If I don't put the Passover blood on the doorposts and the lentils of my house is not protected. My house is my heart now and the things he gives to me. And so, yes, we do spiritual warfare for those things. That is a prophetic picture that whatever we put under the blood of the Lamb of God has been purchased by that blood. And the enemy can't devour that anymore. This year, that's going to become more important because those who have not learned to submit those things to the Lamb of God and put them under his blood are going to try to move into a place in a battle that they have not yet gained the legal right to be in. All we have to do is repent and give it to the Lord. I know I'm not going to get done. I'm only on page 2. Do one more. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9 says, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourself with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So here's 3 points for this year. Understand protocol. This is counter to our current culture. Understand protocol. Honor your elders. If they are older than you, they are your elders. I'm not talking about people with tunics and robes in a religious office. The protocol of heaven is to respect and honor those that are older than us. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. I honor the office of the presidency of the United States of America, and I pray for the person that's in that office that they will be worthy of honor. I don't agree with everything they say, but I honor the position they hold. I don't have to agree with everything they say, but I honor who they are. There is a right way to petition authority, and it's not in your face. The first way is to find out whether Father even wants you petitioning that authority. If you ask him and he doesn't say yes, go talk to them. I love the conversation. Father, I'm really being hassled by the boss at work. I think I need to address the fact that he's doing some things that are really outside the realm of Scripture. And I'm going to do it today, okay? I didn't hear no, so it must have been okay. Not. We need to have the mind of Christ and the timing of the Lord to move into the place. That's why Mason can't just go address the issue he will address, but it will be in the fullness of God's time and Christ's character. And it will win the hardened. That's prophetic too. Number two, in verse 6, ask God how to humble yourself. Just because Matthias humbles himself one way and I humble myself another way doesn't mean that's the way you have to humble yourself. Ask him how it is he wants you to humble yourself, because it's you humbling yourself before him. And then he will lift you up. And number 3, do not let fear keep you from entering the battle ahead. Don't let fear keep you from entering the battle ahead. This is the one I'm going to end on tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 20 outlines 4 levels of fear that keep us from battle. You can read Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 8, but it says, do not be faint-hearted, do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. Do not be the one who has built a new house and has not dedicated. I'm afraid that someone else is going to get my stuff. If I've got a fear of someone getting my stuff, I'm probably not ready for the battle the Lord really wants me to be engaged in. Don't be the one, now they say man, it can be a man or a woman. Don't be the one that's planted a vineyard and has not begun to use its fruit. In other words, you're afraid of who's going to have your harvest. If you are so concerned about Father's harvest that he's entrusted to you, you got the wrong priorities. But we're not fit for battle if we're so concerned about the harvest that we're not willing to battle the giants that are trying to steal the harvest. Don't be the one that's engaged to a woman or the one that's engaged to a man and is not yet married to him or to her. In other words, if I go off to battle and I get beat, some other dude's going to have my fiance. Or some other gal is going to get my guy. If we're so concerned about a relationship, you know, we're in that place right now. We are the bride of Christ. We're not his wife. We're his bride. Our sisters can probably tell you better than I. He has gone to prepare a place for us because that's what the Hebrew groom did in their betrothed time, is he went and prepared a place to bring the bride to when they finally consummated the marriage. Are we with him right now? In spirit, yes. He is preparing a place for us for all eternity. But some of us are so concerned about our relationships in the natural that, I can't do spiritual warfare because it might offend my wife. I can't do spiritual warfare because my boyfriend thinks I'm wacko. If we are so concerned of what others are going to think about us in our intimate relationship, then we probably don't have the intimate relationship with the King of Kings that we need to win the battle. And yes, I'm being humorous, but some of us are there. And then the fourth one is, don't be the one that's afraid and faint-hearted. What if? What if? What if? That's the sound of faint-heartedness. Well, what if I run out of gas on the way to that appointment? What if I say the wrong thing? What if everybody parts their hair on the left and my hair is parted on the right? Well, I don't have to worry about that. If we are so concerned with the what ifs, we are a faint-hearted individual. And the Lord says we're not fit for battle. You know what happens when we're not fit for battle? We're like the Israelite dudes right after Moses said, spies, you did a bad thing, pack in, we're going into the wilderness for 40 years. Oh no, we're going to go up and we're going to take it. See, if I'm faint-hearted, they were faint-hearted to begin with, it doesn't matter what type of front I put on, the Lord's not going to go with the faint-hearted. He didn't go with them. They were history. So, let me sum up tonight with the next point that we need for this year. When we go to war, we have to go with the currency of heaven. The currency of heaven is knowing who he is. Because that's all that's important in heaven, is the King. Father, I ask that you prepare us for this year. Lord, that each hour and each minute of the year we will draw closer to you. I ask that you open our five senses to discern you more fully and to recognize who you are so that we, knowing you, can be your ambassador in the places you call us to. Lord, for those of us who have been fearful, I ask that you would show us your face, that the light of the love in your eyes will so eradicate that fear that we will be set free. And we will begin to grow with you. Lord, I ask that you would show us who you are so intimately that no matter where we go, we will know when you say stand, we will know when you say to speak, we will know when you say to sit, and we will joyfully do it in honor of you. Father, we thank you that you are preparing us this year and you are turning the tide so that you can bring in a great harvest for your glory. Lord, we say, Hine, here we are, send us. Amen.